Let's go ahead and pray together again. Lord, tonight we thank you for your word. As we're about to look into it, we pray, Father, that you'd give us understanding. We pray, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened. Lord, that they would be enlightened by your truth. Truth that is enduring, Lord. A truth that will not pass away. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Oh Lord, may we believe that. And believe that your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And before you, God, we are all naked and laid bare. Before the one to whom we all must give an account. Father, I pray just for all of us, particularly for Byron, as he mentioned though earlier, Lord, but for all of us, that we would not live in the formal lust, but Lord, that we would be holy as you are holy. Help us, Lord. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your help. We pray that you will supply it. And Lord, through your word, we'd be strengthened and edified and built up. We'd become the mature man in Christ you've called us to be. Thank you for our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? All right. I think most of us might say yes. To answer that question, is there a verse of Scripture in the Bible that comes to mind in particular that you would go to, or maybe more than one verse, where you'd say, yep, this right here says Jesus is the only way? All right, good job. So I'll write that right here, John 14:6, in case anyone doesn't know. Every good Baptist should know that verse, right? John 14:6, where Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Are there any other passages that come to mind when asked that question? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Good. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Any others? There you go. What does it say, Johnny? You got it memorized? Good. Acts 4:12. There is no other name under, nor is there any other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, except for the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Acts 4:12. By the way, that passage or that was quoted or spoken by Peter in front of Annas and Caiaphas. Remember the Caiaphas from this morning that we talked about? Well, those guys were still in power when the church was growing and prospering, and the apostles, Peter and John, were brought before them, and they had to give an account for the miracle that had occurred in Acts chapter 3. And it was to these men, Annas and Caiaphas, that, along with the Sanhedrin, that these words were spoken in Acts 4:12. Any others come to mind? Okay, John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, there in John 3:16. Only begotten Son, okay? All right, good. All right, we're done, y'all. We'll be dismissed at this time. hey, let's pull that video up, Ethan, and have that ready to show. I'm just going to show a quick video to show you all that mainstream America, and I'm not just trying to pick on Joel Osteen, okay? But he's a pastor of, I guess, one of the largest churches in, is it the largest? And this was from several years ago, okay? So just note that. This is about a minute and 34 seconds, I think. No, that's the 3 minute and 46 second ones. Because this one actually has some blurbs that people, somebody dropped in there with some scripture. I intended to send the shorter one. But we'll watch this one. I think it will do the job for us. Got to have sound.
But it doesn't quote a lot of biblical passages until the back of the book, right?
Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot of it. But I've always, you know, my message, I wanted to reach the mainstream. I mean, we've reached the church audience. So I just try to, what I do is try to just teach practical principles. I may not bring the scripture into the end of my sermon, and I don't feel bad about that. I just say, you know what, here's the thought. I mean, I talked yesterday about living to give. That's what a life should be about. I brought in at the end about, you know, some of the scriptures that talk about that. But the same principle in the book.
Is it hard?
The essence of the Christian faith.
We live in deeds?
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Well, because we've had ministers on who said, your record don't count. You either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you are going to heaven. And if you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between, I believe you have to know Christ, but I think that if you know Christ, if you're a believer in God, you're going to have some good works. And I think it's a cop-out to say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't ever do anything to help
anybody. What if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all?
You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. I think only God.
If you believe, you have to believe in Christ.
I believe
they're wrong, aren't they?
Well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe here's what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, this is what I believe. But I just think that only God can judge a person's heart. I've spent a lot of time in India with my father, and you know, I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God, and I don't know. I'd have to, you know, I've seen their sincerity, so. I don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. But
the Senate apologized last week for slavery. Phoenix, Arizona. Hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best. Thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then Jew is not going to heaven.
No.
Well,
here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it, it is wrong, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but I...
About atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven?
I believe that.
said there is when they're being educated on how to locate counterfeit bills, money. They don't try to show them all the different kinds of counterfeit, but they teach them what the real thing is like. And then they know what the real thing is like, then they can compare it to that. So it's that way with Christianity, with the truth. Here's the thing about the truth. I heard this analogy or read this analogy this past week, that it's a lot like comparing a, you know, those bubbles that kids put in the thing and then they blow the bubble. The bubble kind of floats around and then you can easily pop it, right? Or maybe it just disappears. That's not the way the truth is. The truth lasts and it endures. It's more like a football. A football can take a lot of hits. It can take a lot of banging. It's tough. It endures. So comparing those two things, that's the way the truth is, and that's what we seek to hope to. Now, having said that, let's look at these five religions. I don't have power over this right now, guys. All right, but help me out. All right, five major world religions. Hinduism is the first one, okay? I'm not a scholar at all on these things or much of anything, but borrowed this, the words that I'm about to give you from everystudent.com. Had a good condensed paragraph on most of these. But Hinduism, just to give you a little rundown on this, it's the worship of one being of ultimate oneness called Brahman. Through infinite representations of gods and goddesses. These various deities become incarnate within idols, temples, gurus, rivers, and animals, etc. Hindus believe their position in this present life was determined by their actions in a previous life. Hinduism, therefore, provides a possible explanation for suffering and evil in this life. If a person's behavior before was evil, they might justifiably experience tremendous hardships in this life. Pain, disease, poverty, or other disaster like a flood is deserved by that person because of their own evil actions, usually from a previous lifetime. A Hindu's goal is to become free from the law of karma, to be free from the continuous reincarnations. Only the soul matters, which will one day be free of the cycle of rebirths and be at rest. So Hinduism lets a person choose how to work toward spiritual perfection. There are three possible ways to end the cycle of karma. Number one, you can be lovingly devoted to any of the Hindu deities. Number two, you can grow in knowledge through meditation of Brahman oneness, or Brahman is oneness, to realize that circumstances in life are not real, that selfhood is an illusion and only Brahman is real. And number three, to be dedicated to various religious ceremonies and rites. All right, so Hinduism believes in many, many gods and goddesses. They acknowledge many gods and goddesses. And we also see a person is really on their own trying to gain a release from karma. I was thinking about reincarnation a little bit this week. I don't believe in it. I hope you don't either. The Bible doesn't teach it. But if I did believe in reincarnation, I would want to come back in the next life as a very talented musician. Okay? I'd like to be Tanner when I came back into the next life, if that were actually a thing. That would be so cool to be talented like that. So Hinduism is the first. Number two is, guys, there we go, Buddhism. Buddhism. Buddhists do not worship any gods or God. People outside of Buddhism often think that Buddhists worship the Buddha. However, the Buddha never claimed to be divine, but rather he is viewed by Buddhists as having attained that what they are also striving to obtain, which is spiritual enlightenment and with it freedom from continuous cycle of life and death. Most Buddhists believe a person has countless rebirths, which inevitably include suffering. A Buddhist seeks to end these rebirths. Buddhists believe it is a person's cravings, aversion, and delusion that cause these rebirths. Therefore, the goal of a Buddhist is to purify one's heart and to let go of all yearnings towards sensual desires and the attachment of oneself. Buddhists follow a list of religious principles and adhere to personal restraint, fastings, and very dedicated meditation. When a Buddhist meditates, it is not the same as praying or focusing on a god. It is more of a self-discipline. Through practiced meditation, a person may reach nirvana. That is the blowing out of the flame of desire. Buddhism provides something that is true of most major religions: disciplines, values, and directives that a person may want to live by. So, Buddhism really do not believe in a particular god. Buddha is not their god, but someone who has achieved that. And it is an individual quest of being free from desire. All right? So, first two major religions that we're listing today: Hinduism and then Buddhism. Okay, everybody got that? Number three, Islam. Islam. They believe that there is one almighty God named Allah who is indefinitely superior to and transcendent from mankind. Allah is viewed as the creator of the universe and the source of all good and all evil. Everything that happens is Allah's will. He is a powerful and strict judge who will be merciful toward followers depending on the sufficiency of their life's good works and religious devotion. A follower's relationship with Allah is as a servant to Allah. Though a Muslim honors several prophets, Muhammad is considered the last prophet, and his words and lifestyle are that person's authority. To be a Muslim, one must follow five religious duties. I'm going to list those for you. Number one, to be a Muslim, you have to repeat a creed about Allah and Muhammad. Number two, you have to recite certain prayers in Arabic five times a day. Number three, you have to give to the needy. Number four, 1 month each year, you have to fast from food, drink, sex, and smoking from sunrise to sunset. Number five, you have to have a pilgrimage once in one's lifetime to worship at a shrine in Mecca. At death, based on one's faithfulness to these duties, a Muslim hopes to enter paradise. If not, they will be eternally punished in hell. For many people, Islam matches their expectations about religion and deity. Islam teaches that there is one supreme deity who is worshipped through good deeds and disciplined religious rituals. After death, a person is rewarded or punished according to their religious devotions. Muslims believe that giving up one's life for Allah is a sure way of entering paradise. That's why several many years ago we had Muslims hijacking planes and flying them into buildings in the United States because they believe that was a sure way to enter into paradise if they gave up their life in worship of Allah. So you have to believe in a powerful but unknowable God, or Islam believes in a powerful but unknowable God, and they follow religious laws for the sake of paradise. Okay? Number four. Trying to move right along. New Age is what this site listed, New Age spirituality. And I'll try to summarize this as much as possible, but this is basically saying that a person is God, and that Godhood is within someone, and that the things that happen in our lives that are negative are not real, and that we just continue to work at becoming the God that we are. It says in the closing paragraph, anything negative a person experiences, failure, sadness, anger, selfishness, hurt, is considered an illusion. Believing themselves to be completely sovereign over their life, nothing about their life is wrong, negative, or painful. Eventually, a person develops spirituality to the degree that there is no objective external reality. A person becoming a God creates their own reality. So that's kind of, and really several different things can be absorbed into, or several different religions, there are many, 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 could stem from each of these. But New Age, you believe you are God, and each person is working at their own divinity. Okay? So far, we have seen in the five major religions, the first one, that Hinduism acknowledges many gods and goddesses. They're trying by themselves to gain release from karma. Buddhism does not recognize a particular god. It's an individual quest at being free from desire. Islam believes in a powerful but unknowable God. They follow strict religious laws in order to obtain paradise after death. New Age believes that they are God and that each person is working at their own divinity. Now, lastly, is Christianity. Christianity believes in one eternal God who is creator of all that is. He is viewed as a loving God who offers everyone a personal relationship with himself now in this life. In his life on earth, Jesus Christ did not identify himself as a prophet pointing to God or as a teacher of enlightenment. Rather, Jesus claimed to be God in human form. He performed miracles, forgave people of their sins, and said that anyone who believed in him would have eternal life. Followers of Jesus regard the Bible as God's written message to humankind. In addition to being an historical record of Jesus' life and miracles, the Bible reveals his personality, his love and truth, and how one can know and relate to God as you could a friend. Christians believe that all people sin, including themselves. They see Jesus as their Savior, as the Messiah who was prophesied by the prophets of the Old Testament in the Bible. They believe that Jesus Christ, out of love for us, paid for the sin of all of humanity by dying on a cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, as he promised, proving his deity. So, Christianity believes in a loving God who created us to know and love him. Christianity believes that God offers a relationship with him based on what his son Jesus did, not on what we can do. Do y'all see the difference in Christianity and all these other religions? All the other religions, it's based upon what that individual person can do in order to make themselves good enough to receive paradise, to really what ultimately every religion is going toward, and that is peace, that is rest, that is salvation. But every one of the other religions is the person working their way there, whereas Christianity says Jesus did it, and you trust in him and in him alone. You remember what Titus chapter 3 says? It says, not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christianity teaches. Now, if I were someone who was not a believer, I would look at all those different options and I would say, if I could, I would look at it and say, man, Christianity seems like the best deal there. Because my salvation is not based upon my merit. It's not based upon how obedient I am or how good I am. But my salvation is based upon what Christ did, on living the perfect life and dying as a sacrifice in my place. That's the good news, like Brother David was talking about this morning. That's good, isn't it? That's good news. So why Jesus? Here's three options I would present to you. Number one, Jesus is not a way. You could look at all this and you could say, man, I don't even believe that stuff about Jesus ever happened. Even though our calendar is kind of organized around his birth, his life, I don't believe all that. I don't believe the prophecies that he apparently fulfilled. I don't believe the fact that there's an empty grave. Now, I don't believe that this man who, they say rose from the dead and appeared to 500 people at one time. I don't believe that ever really happened. The gospel that it has continued all these years, even though men knew it was a lie, but yet they continued to give their lives for it, that doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that Jesus ever really even existed. And let me just say, that's the difference between Christianity, the early apostles, and martyrs for a false religion. You see, these guys saw Jesus raised from the dead, and they gave their lives. But if they were just making all that up, and they were saying, no, they were saying, yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but they knew he really didn't, but then they gave their lives anyways for something that they knew was a lie, that doesn't make any sense. Most people aren't going to do that. Muslims give their lives for Allah, but they believe that he is the God, and that they believe that if they give their life, they will go directly to paradise. You see, they give their lives for something that they believe, but it's false. These men knew that Jesus had raised from the dead, and they were willing to give their lives for it. They weren't giving their lives for a lie. They were giving their lives for the truth. Number two is this. Jesus is a way. Jesus is a way up the mountain. There's a mountain here, and you all have probably seen this illustration before. Here's the mountain right here. And up at the top, we'll draw a cloud for God. I am a great artiste, by the way. And all these different religions, they're all going up the mountain. And they all really make it up. They go up the mountain. They're all going up the same mountain. And they all end up in the same place, ultimately, up here with God and at rest. So you could view Jesus as a way. Kind of like Joel Osteen presented to us in that little clip. That he's not going to say that, you know, Jesus is the only way for everybody, that God's going to judge the heart, other people might be okay, however they want to say that. So you could view it that way. Or, number three, you could say Jesus is the way. You could say Jesus is not a way, Jesus is a way. Number three, Jesus is the way. And if we view Jesus as the way, we're not looking at it like, okay, he's over here, Jesus is over here, and this is another path up. Because all of this has man working himself up the mountain. You see, you got to put your boots on, you got to get at the bottom of the mountain, you got to start trekking up that mountain so that you can get up here, earn your way to the top. Here's the difference between Christianity and all of these. All these religions say you got to go up the mountain. I'll erase it to try to make it more clear. But here's what the Bible teaches. That God came down the mountain to us. And that He made the way to God. Christ, the Son of God, came down and He died. He took our sins upon Himself on the cross. He died in our place as our substitute, as our sacrifice, as the King. And through believing in Him, we can come to God. And we believe that's the only way. But there's no other way. And these scriptures that you all referenced earlier all indicate that is the way to heaven. So, the logical conclusion that we come to, in my opinion. And you know, I think about this. I was raised in kind of a Christian home. I was taken to church since I was a little boy. Then I think about people who, Hindus, who have grown up in that belief system, Buddhists, and Muslims who have grown up in those religious systems. And I think, you know, they're just as convinced as I am. But we have to look at it and say, what is the logical conclusion? And we remember that we believe that there is a God, right? That God is real, and He's shown us that He's real. There were four ways. I showed y'all this 2 weeks ago. Does anybody remember the four C's that should remind us or tell us that there is a God? Anybody remember the first one? Say it again loud if you know it. Creation. Number two. It's inside of you. Anybody remember? Conscience. Right. Number three. Canon of Scripture. Johnny, you took notes, didn't you? Cheater, punch. Number three. So, canon of Scripture. And then number four. What's number four? Starts with a C. John? Christ. Alright. Four ways in which we know that God is real. Creation, conscience, canon of Scripture, Christ. Alright? So those four things teach us that there is a God. And everybody on the face of the earth knows that there is a God. And they're seeking maybe to worship that God in some way, or somehow, or some religious beliefs. So these people who are in these various religions are very convinced of the ways that they believe, but the logical conclusion is this holy God requires an account of us as His creation, and we have all sinned. Okay? We can't be good enough to make ourselves good enough for Him. So, He sent His Son, and that Son died for us. And this is such a logical thing. It's such good news. Really. David Livingstone was a great explorer in Africa. There have been other missionaries as well who have run across people, and after sharing the gospel with them, with people in remote places of the earth who had never heard it before, they hear the good news about a Savior. And they respond by saying, if the white man had this good news for all of these years, why did he not bring it to us sooner? That a man has died for our sins, and that through him we can have salvation. My ancestors have died without ever hearing about this Savior. Why did he not come sooner? And you see, this is what propels us into missions. Because if we believe that Christ is the only way, then we must be active in missions. We must be taking the gospel to the lost world. The verses that you find up here on the screen, I'll just give you a rundown of those very quickly. John 14:6, Acts 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:5, and then, so y'all nailed them right there. And then Hebrews 4:15. Let's just flip to all these very quickly. We'll wrap up. Hebrews 4:15. Y'all just turn as quick as you can. As soon as I turn there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading. I don't mean to be rude. Hebrews 4:15 shows us that Jesus is the only perfect human. He's the only one who ever had the perfect human life. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without what? Sin. See, this is one reason why Jesus is the only way. The next one is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Jesus is the only way because Jesus came and gave himself as a sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 9:26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why is Jesus the only Savior? Because he alone has given himself as a sacrifice for sin. The next verse that I'll give to you is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Here we see that Jesus has abolished him who has power over death. If you're not familiar with this verse, you really need to be, these two verses. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Why is Jesus the only Savior? Because he has destroyed the devil because of the sacrifice of himself. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy, I don't have it up there, but I've got to show you this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Not only has Jesus destroyed the devil, but we also see that he's abolished death. Verse 9, who saved us and called us, 2 Timothy 1:9, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished what? Death. And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus has shown us the way that this happens. And he showed it to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, last one's 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Here we see that may be supposed to be 1 Peter 2:4. But let me take a look at it real quick. 1 Peter 2:24. Tells us here that who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Verse 25. For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 2:4 additionally tells us that he is the chosen one of God. So there's so much there about Jesus. We see that he is the one who took our sin upon himself. John 3:13. If you turn over to John chapter 3. Jesus is the one who has come from heaven and has gone back to heaven. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And then in verses 14 and 15, we see that Jesus offers eternal life. No one else has done this. No other religious leader can do this or has promised this, that he is able to give eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, verse 14, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what?
Eternal life.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
And then finally, we come to Acts 13, verses 37 and 38, and then Romans 3, 22. Acts 13, 37 and 38. Here's what Paul preached. This is one of the great sermons in the book of Acts. He says in verse 36, For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What good news for any sinner to run to, that in Christ you can be justified from your sins. And finally, Romans 3:22. This will be our last passage. Sorry to have you to flip so many places, but these are a few to look at.
We get well trained by David, so we're
good. There you go, good. In Romans 3:22, we see here as well that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled through Jesus. Even the righteousness of God, I'll start at verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody here tonight at New Life Baptist Church needs the righteousness of God. If you will stand before Him one day and be declared innocent, be justified, you must have the righteousness of God on your account. And the only way you can have that, any man, woman, boy, or girl, is if your faith is in Jesus, who fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. That's why I believe, and I hope that I believe until my dying day, that Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no exception. There is no other way. And that's not trying to be mean or exclusive to others, but that burdens us to go and tell people about who Christ is so that they too can believe and be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention tonight. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, save the lost, even here in our midst. Lord, please let them see Jesus for who He is and believe in Him. Lord, there's children here who have not believed. There's students here who have not believed. Lord, there could be adults here who have not truly placed their faith in Jesus, but they're trusting in their good works somehow or the other. Lord, if our faith and if our life is built on anything except the words of Jesus and the rock of His Word, then Lord, it will disappear one day. It will not hold up under judgment. But Lord, if our lives are built on the solid rock of Jesus, then it will endure, because it is that life that was given to justify us, to sanctify us, to redeem us. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that we will believe this till our dying day and for all of eternity, who Jesus is, and that we will believe it with all of our hearts. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us this week with the opportunities to share this good news. I pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, folks, I love y'all. That's all I have for tonight. You are sent, remember, as David said, as apostles, those who can take the message to a lost world. So let's go this week and do that.